So
we have enough to start.
We have enough to start the discussion.
Seven.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Are you open for a motion then?
We can't vote on a motion, but I'm open for a motion.
Okay.
I'm happy to do anything. It's your committee as well as mine.
Well, I'll do the best I can with this in the absence of those that motion to increase the CARP project funding, currently recommended at $3 million to $8 million, by redirecting $2.5 million from the RIM WRP and using $2.5 from carryover.
Okay, we have a motion. What does anyone think about that motion? Jim?
Well, again, I mean, we're basically just going to give who the DNR a blank check to do whatever they wish with?
No, they have to come back to us with an accomplishment plan. Under our current recommendation, it is four invasive species. It is not specified exactly what that is, but it has to come back with an accomplishment plan before it would be formally approved by this body. So, and I think, you know, what you heard the DNR say is if they had to pick one and two, they would probably pick Lock and Dam number one and Lock and Dam number two. My read of it in listening to them, and I think it's too early for them to completely understand this, it's somewhere between $3.5 and $6 million per structure, plus or minus. Operating costs not completely understood. So,
are we going to fund operating costs too, or are we just funding?
It has to come back, and it's an accomplishment plan for us to decide. And if you'll remember, when we first did this, the bubble barrier was a project because somebody wanted to do something, and we weren't willing to commit to a specific project. We were forcing them to come back with a specific plan, which we could then say, this makes sense or this doesn't make sense. So the strategy was to put the money aside but not limit ourselves prematurely because the DNR didn't even know exactly what they wanted to, how they wanted to handle it. So it was really to set the money up so there could be future discussion. Phil?
With his motion, that leaves the bottom line here, 2.8, is that
yes.
Yeah. Which is, you know, just a little less than the 3%, or pretty close to the 3%.
And the 3% again, run that
3% of our
decided to do that.
Our allocation.
Our allocation is $97 million. So 3% of that would be about 2.9. So that's the 3%. Where right now we've got 5.3, which is a little over 5%.
This is not abnormal that we sit in that range, that 3% range. We're actually a little high on the bottom line now.
Well, compared to the other funds, we're higher, but it's consistent with where we've been historically.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
We have nine people. So there's a motion on. Is there other discussion?
No other discussion, but we do have less on board for a 10.
Okay. Great.
Should we, out of respect for everybody here, wait for everybody to vote, or don't we have to, or shouldn't we do that?
Well, I asked everybody to be back at 1 o'clock. You know, so I'm not sure who's not coming back.
He's coming back.
I do know Tom. Tom said we could call him when we get to a vote.
Okay. So is this going to be a recorded vote?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right. Please.
Tom.
Yes.
Where is Denny?
He's on his way back, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, let's call Tom and ask him if he can get back, since we seem to be moving in that direction. Ron?
David, can I have the motion said again? We're moving in quite a fast direction now.
The motion.
Why we came up with that amount?
The motion was to increase our recommendation for the CARP funding, invasive CARP funding, from $3 million to $8 million, and to pay for the additional $5 million by taking $2.5 million from RIM WRP and $2 million from our projected carryover balance.
You might want to repeat it since Denny just came in. I'm sorry.
All right. Denny, while you were gone, there was a motion made to increase CARP funding from the $3 million to $5 million, paying for that with $2.5 million taken from the RIM WRP. What did I say? I'm sorry.
Very good.
Increase funding by $5 million from $3 million to $8 million. $2.5 million to come from RIM WRP and $2.5 million to be taken from our reserve. So that's the motion on the table. The increase, the $5 million would be subject to an accomplishment plan coming back to us, as the $3 million is now. So it would still come back to us in terms of exactly how it was spent and where it would be spent, so that we would get a chance to see that before the money was put forth.
We have Kevin Lyons.
Oh, Kevin, do you want to say something?
I do. Thank
Please
you.
Say something
Thank
for
you.
Us.
For the record, Kevin Lyons, Conservation Easement Manager for the Board of Water and Soil Resources. And I guess what I would just want to remind the council is that the RIM WRP partnership also comes along with it, a $1.6 federal match. So a reduction of $2.5 million is, in fact, actually a $4 million loss in federal funds that would be targeted. So in combination and between the two funds, $6 million reduction in the accomplishments with that proposal. So I just want to alert the council, remind them of that.
So while you're here, I think I read in the bonding proposal put forth by the governor that there was $3 million for this program. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, council members, in fact, the bonding bill did not RIM did not receive any funding in the governor's recommendation.
Okay.
At all.
So, and historically, where has that recommendation been in bonding?
You know, Mr. Chair, council members.
Last two cycles, where has it been?
Well, in 2011, RIM received a $20 million bonding appropriation. Previous to that, it was, somewhat complicated. We received a special session of $10 million for flood damage that occurred in southern Minnesota in 29 counties. But our previous bonding appropriation was in 2008 for $25
million. Okay.
So that's the funding recently.
Would you care to speculate as to whether or not anyone's going to look at the reduction in bonding request if it were to stand as us being asked to substitute for the state?
Mr. Chair, council members, I'm sure there'll be people looking at that.
Wayne, do you want to make any comment as to why you made the recommendation or the motion as you did?
We need to start somewhere, and it's already been told us over and over again how important this preventing CARP from getting into the system is. RIM will be here next year. It has been here in the past, and I'm not picking on RIM WRP, but you will be around some more. We have acquisitions which we have not done, and that our results, some of the public input has shown that we're behind on doing that, and doing less acquisitions we should be as well. So thinking that if anybody can weather the storm a little bit while we're facing this problem, take it from there.
Okay, Ryan?
Well, Mr. Chair, I'll vote no on any reduction to the RIM WRP for a few reasons, but yes, RIM is going to still be here in different forms, but I don't think that we should think that WRP is necessarily going to be around forever. There's a lot of rumblings in Washington, D.C. to defund Wetland Reserve Program right now, along with other portions of the conservation title in the Farm Bill. We don't have a Farm Bill yet. I'm not as confident that this money is going to be available down in the future. It is a limited pot of money. We've done a really good job of leveraging those federal funds, accomplishing very specific wetland restoration goals, which are high priority in the prairies in Minnesota. I think the Wetland Reserve Program does things to improve water quality in the prairie region, which is something that we're going to have to focus on even more in the Minnesota River system as these carp start swimming upstream, whether you spend this $8 million or not. So I'm voting no, so you're going to need at least 10 votes.
Danny?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wayne, if I can ask, why wouldn't you utilize the money that is available potentially in Mississippi Northwoods with the Trust for Public Land saying they think they can put together the deal without the need for the full $14 million? Why wouldn't we do that and then keep the federal match that's available now on the rim?
I appreciate the question. I believe that from what I've been hearing is that if we don't fund the whole project, that the potential is that trail, state trail, or potential trail could be put in then wherever it's chosen to be at a later date. I would rather see that project be all-inclusive so we don't lose that option of deciding where the trail can be part of the decision-making process of where that trail goes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, but if I'm not mistaken, the proposal was just to reduce our commitment to the project, wasn't to change our ability to have input on the trail process. I would not be in favor of us allowing the trail people for potentially a small amount of money, and I would consider 2 of 14 a small amount of money to decide where the trail would go. If we're paying 12 of 14, I think that we should be the ones having a lot of input on where the trail goes. And if there's a trail going to be there, I don't think that we should be paying for trail money.
I don't disagree with you. This was something that came up right at the end of our last meeting here that we would probably lose control of where we want to put it. So,
Scott?
And I was actually talking to Greg, and he indicated, he said, if we don't fund the project full, how do we determine what $2 million they bought? Okay? And so by us acquiring the property in total, then there is no question about the trail alignment. But he says you cannot control the trail alignment on property that you didn't buy. And for that reason, I think that property needs to stay intact, and any trail money that would be generated would come back to the Outdoor Heritage Council to be redistributed. That's the way it was explained to me.
Kenny?
Again, I would strongly object to us paying 12 of 14, if that's what the proposal would be, with the idea that somebody else would decide where they get to put potentially, I've heard talk of a 2-mile-long trail. It would be my thoughts that this group should maintain 100% control of where the path, the trail would go if we're going to be paying $12 million. If potentially, my understanding of the proposal is TPL is going to go forward and try and find a partner on the trail. That's one possibility. They may renegotiate a deal with Potlatch for $12 million, too. That would be another possibility. And I would suggest that we just reduce our appropriation. And my thoughts would be we would reduce the appropriation if we did by $2 million, but keep, and I even have some ideas of strengthening some language, I think, that we do. I would suggest we strengthen language, but we keep control. There's no way we want to pay $12 million and let somebody else decide where a trail is going to blow through the middle of that land.
Bill?
I could weigh in a little bit. You know, RIM-WRP is a tremendous program, matching money. There's no question. There's no argument there. But before we closed down the doors last year in our special session, they were granted, I believe, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, $20 more million. Is that accurate? $20 million that really wasn't in play until the end of the session. Now I know that's how it happens around here, but you know that's a pretty nice chunk of money all of a sudden to say, you know, that goes into that particular project. I don't think $2.5 million is going to bring it to their needs, quite frankly. I just think that, you know, we tirelessly, Danny, went over to LCCMR last year and came up with many millions of dollars and redirected some worthwhile projects to the emerging issues. Where I'm going with that is everybody's kind of paying a little bit of the pain here. And I don't see anything at all wrong with taking that. I really don't. It'll be here next year. It'll be here the year after. I think this is an important enough issue. And I know I'm not talking about the Northwoods thing here, but it's an important enough issue to redirect some of those dollars, some of the programs that have been doing quite well, actually. And again, nobody's talked about clean water money here. I think you know, they certainly could step up and share in the pain, if you will, a little bit as well. So if we're not going to do that, I guess I'm certainly in favor of the amendment, at least the way it stands right now. Or the motion, I'm sorry.
Jane?
Do we have every reason to believe then that at some point in the future the 14.04 that's going to the Northwoods up in Mississippi project, we'll be getting back at least $2 million once the trails have been located and approved by us and money has been secured from the parks and trails?
I think, assuming there's a desire for a trail.
Which there is. That's on the record.
Okay. But does that translate into it happening? Assuming the trail path is aligned, assuming there's an appraisal that then determines what that alignment is actually worth, and we agree, then we would get money back. Bill, correct me again if I'm wrong.
No, I'm going to amplify what you said, I think. The fact of the matter is we're handling the repayment to the Outdoor Heritage Fund under our lands clause, that replacement clause, and you can replace either at the request of the council, either replace it in funds or land of equal value.
Any other?
Right.
So you could get land back.
Right.
Brian?
Mr. Chair, I don't like the idea of taking from the RIM program, because of all the programs that we fund, in my mind, it's one of the most valuable, not only from wetlands and other aspects, but the dead zone, Mississippi River, you name it. We're sat here worried about invasive species, and now we're going to ignore, or not maybe ignore, and I understand $2 million, but I don't like the logic of it. If we have the money coming from a project that can give us back $2 million, that would certainly, it seems to me, make sense to use that. And what we do is we tell them what we're going to pay for the $12 million. And what's left over, they can put their trail in. We'll declare where we, what we want. I mean, that seems to be the common sense way of doing this. But the idea of, I was appalled, frankly, when I saw there was no RIM money in bond. Appalled at all the things that we could be, and the value of that program. I'm voting no.
Okay. Ryan?
Sure, I have an amendment.
You can make an amendment.
Rather than
take 2.5 from Wetland Reserve. We take the 2.5 million from the Conservation Partners Legacy Grants. We're allocating nearly $5 million. We can't give the money away through our allocation process now. It seems like that would be a much more logical place to take the money from.
We have an amendment. Discussion on the amendment. Bill.
I'd like to hear from Scott, but what have we not spent over the last 3 years through the conservation program, through the small grants program?
Mr. Chair, the money available in fiscal year 2010 was expended in one round of solicitations, and the money in FY 2011, all but $150,000 was approximately expended in two rounds. In the current FY fiscal year funds, approximately $1.7 million, I'm looking to DNR for a nod, $1.7 million was expended in the first round, and the second round closes February the 8th. And we'll know how they've done on that.
So the answer to your question is $150,000 wasn't expended in 1 year, and everything else has been expended because we don't know the results for this year. Scott, do you have something?
Well, the only statements I could make to that amendment are the fact that there's no doubt that small grants program's kind of got off to a rocky start from an application perspective, et cetera. But there's about four or five things that are going on in that program now that I think are substantial improvements, which I think will streamline its operation, which will certainly get those dollars into the hands of the smallest unit of conservation, which is sportsmen's clubs, et cetera. So I think that its future is a lot brighter than what its initial year or two workup might be.
Okay. Any other? Denny?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate Wayne and Ryan's efforts to find solutions, and I really want to be careful. I don't know that we want to be going after each and every proposal that's been before us and that we've worked hard on the whole time so far. And it would be my hope that we would think more about TPL's efforts to step forward and say they're willing to find a way, and that they think they can make this deal work with $2 million less money. I think that's prudent. Susan, thank you very much for doing that. I know how hard that was for you to do. I believe you're going to be able to put a thing together. We should be cognizant, members, that the trail by a per acre price is only $170,000 for a two-mile-long trail at $7,000 an acre. If they're willing to put together a deal that is $2 million potentially to allow a trail, we will be compensated way over the normal amount for allowing a trail in there. So I think it would be appropriate for us to have an honest discussion that we're going to get a better deal at this $12 million proposal than the $14 million, because just per acre, it's a good deal. And then I think we should just center our conversations hopefully around the bottom line, that this AIS is really important, and not going after each project. There's been challenges with the small grants. RIM, I can't imagine us going after that. That'd be the last one I would ever go. I'm sorry. I'm not going to support more CARP money at the expense of RIM. That federal match is not there forever. And if you think it is, you're not paying attention and watching the news. So I would wish we would center our discussion more around the good bill we put together before and this emerging issue of AIS, TPL's efforts to bring a couple million forward, and then a discussion if we want to go more into the bottom line along the lines with clean water. So I'm sorry, but Wayne and Ryan, I'm going to vote no on Wayne's and on Ryan's amendment.
Scott?
Greg, would you clarify, now that you're back, the issue about the Northwoods Mississippi River Project? If we fund 12 of that, and they get the other two from Parks and Trails for the trail corridor, how that might risk the council's ability to dictate the trail route.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Scott, the issue is you don't know the route of the trail. You don't know where that trail is going to go. And right now, by buying the entire parcel without the Heritage Fund money, you've got language in there that a trail can't be built until it gets approved here. But if you put up $12 million and they don't get the trail money by the end of the year, my understanding is that the sale has to occur by the end of this year. Potlatch would have to make a decision to sell you a portion of the property, to sell a portion of the property to them with the money from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And then the question is what's remaining? And if a trail goes through in the future, if there's money, then you would not have, they could decide which part of the parcel you're going to get for the $12 million. It could be the best, the worst, it could be, you don't know what parts you're going to get. If you do it the way the council has done it, you have control over where that trail goes.
Jane?
If the appraisal that we are now expecting at the end of March comes in at less than 14.04, what happens with that?
The extra money?
Yeah.
It would... Bill, tell them what would happen so I don't screw it up. Essentially, it would be available in future years to us.
$12 million.
Would it go into the reserve?
It would go into the reserve as an unspent amount.
$12 million is available to buy the property. If the appraisal came in at $12 million or below, there would be enough money in this appropriation to buy the property. Anything less than $12 million would cancel back to the fund and be available for appropriation.
Or 14 year. Unless we change it to 12.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne.
The discussion we're having here right now is sort of the reason for coming up with something we can start with, because we've got the trails thing, which was came in today, and I don't think we had a lot of time to think about what we're going to do with potentially $2 million and the legal ramifications. We've already been told that maybe some LCCMR money might be available at 1.9. What are we going to trade, and how are we going to do that? And then all of a sudden, it seems like a more urgent need to spend money for the CARP problem. So I'll be the first one to admit, when I left here for dinner, I was not prepared to do any of this today. I mean, this is a lot of stuff coming down, and we're just going to take 2 hours to hurry up and jam something through and hope that it's really going to be, it's doing the right thing. Personally, I thought it might be better to wait a couple weeks and let the dust settle, try to get all our facts together before we take this issue on, because it does seem to be very important. But in the absence of that may not happen, we have the motion.
So let me try to summarize the tea leaves at this point. And you can tell me if I'm wrong. We've got an amendment to Wayne's motion, which is to substitute the Conservation Partners funding for RIM WRP. And if I read the tea leaves right, that's not going to pass. We have then Wayne's motion to come up with another $5 million, taking some out of RIM WRP, and I suspect that's not going to pass. Which leaves us with sort of what we want to do. We can talk about this for a long time, or we can just get to the heart of, are we going to go forward on this path, or are we going to find a different path, or no path, stay where we are. I sense there is a willingness to look at reducing our reserve and putting that money into the CARP program at this point, under the same conditions that we have now, which it requires a plan come back that we then get to approve or disapprove. And the question becomes, you know, should we take TPL up on the Northwoods reduction, or not, because there's a control issue. Should we allocate more than the $5.5 million or not? Does anyone disagree with my sort of where we're at?
Could we at least act on the reserve part and get that done?
Well, we need to clear the motions that are on the table. I guess what I'd like to ask at this point is that the motion, the amendment be withdrawn, if he's willing to do that. You can always bring it back later.
I'll let him withdraw his original motion and then my amendment.
I think the amendment has to be withdrawn first. Is that right, Janelle? And
if the original amendment is withdrawn, all motions to the amendment are also
okay.
With it.
I have a question before we go get to that. But, and I got to think of what it was. A lot of discussion.
Well, I've been wrong twice today, so you can take another.
What I wanted to know was, we have the DNR was asking, they said this is how much money they need. My question here is, besides the three that we've already put into and besides all the other contributions which are coming forth, how many dollars do we need to satisfy their potential or their request, basically what they're looking for? I think it was $13 million is what they need.
$13 million is what is in the pipeline and likely to come their way. If bonding is passed in our recommendation as originally developed, is it 12?
Mr. Chairman, when they said that you only get four from the feds for the one match, to me that's a reduction of $1 million down to 12. So.
Okay, I guess I understood that the Minnesota Highway Department was willing to come up with that match.
They're coming up with $1 million?
That was what I heard, but
I don't think so. That's not what I heard.
We have a representative.
Well, please explain what you think you got coming.
Okay, I can try to clarify that. Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Tim Schlagner, DNR. What we have that is potential funding right now, the $3 million that you had set aside. There is a $4 million MnDOT money that's federal money that requires a 20% non-federal match. And then there's $5 million in the governor's bond bill.
Okay, so it is a total of 12.
It would be, yes.
Thank you. That's good enough. Thank you for correcting me. We're going to lose track of how many times today. So it's $12 million is in the pipeline. Of that, four seems reasonably safe from Department of Transportation using federal money as long as somebody comes up with another million.
So my question is, if we came with only the money from our carryover reserve, reserve fund, another 2.5 in order to meet theirs and add that, and then we'd be coming up at 5.5, which would still be the biggest contributor to the project at this point.
That would be correct.
Okay. Then I am willing to drop my motion.
Okay.
I may do another one.
That's fair enough.
I reserve my right to be able to amend his motion.
You can.
I love that.
Motion now is to increase the project currently recommended at $3 million. To $5.5 million using 2.5 from our projected carryover balance.
Okay. Everyone understand that motion? Is there any discussion on that motion? Doesn't mean we can't make other motions, but that motion, that is a recommendation to, or a motion to recommend to the legislature that our package be amended to the 5.5 using 2.5 out of the reserve.
Correct, Mr. Chair.
Same terms and conditions as are in our original, has to come back with an accomplishment plan.
What percentage does our reserve represent at that level?
About 3%.
A little over 3.
Which is the same as the other funds. So we're not doing something completely ridiculous.
You're right, Mr. Chair, but if the other funds jumped off of building, doesn't mean that we should. That's what my mom
would tell me. Well, okay, I'm not even going there. Are there any comments on this motion? Let's do a roll call vote. Do it in reverse this time, because I've heard some feedback that some people may want to listen to what other people have to say, and so it's easier to repeat the motion.
Please.
To increase our funding from $3 million to $5.5 million for the invasive carp project, subject to the terms and conditions that we put originally, i.e. an accomplishment plan coming back, and to take that money from our reserve, reducing our reserve by $2.5 million.
The rest of the funding, Mr. Chair, we're talking about will be resolved after this particular...
Well, the $3 million is already in our recommendation.
Correct, yep.
So if we want to do more funding, we can have another motion.
Staff has a comment.
Mr. Chair, just want... For people who are uncomfortable, just a technical thing, when you're doing a roll call vote, you can always pass if you don't want to vote now and you want to wait to hear where everybody else is or somebody else is.
Okay.
So that is something you all have the ability to do. Most members of the legislature know that. I just want to make sure that everybody else
knows. I don't think the citizens know that, but there's nothing wrong with doing it in reverse every once in a while.
Nothing wrong with that either, but I'm just saying that you can always pass and they have to come back to you.
Great. Let's do it in reverse.
Our original funding required a cost share.
For Wisconsin.
Only from them?
Only if it was a border project.
Answers my
question.
And
that would be part of the original, recommendation. Jim?
Yeah. I guess I would just like to ask Representative McNamara, because he seems to be the one that's been driving this issue. Is this funding going to be sufficient to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish?
I think it would be a very strong commitment from Lessard Sams, and we would be setting the tables for some other organizations, Clean Water, LCCMR, to follow the leadership, the strong leadership of this group. I would like to have a further discussion after this motion, not to go after any more of the bottom line. I think 3% is a reasonable amount on the bottom line, and I'm not interested in going after anybody else's, any other projects other than money that's been identified that potentially isn't needed. So you can understand I'd like to have a discussion about the $2 million of TPL.
We'll give you that opportunity.
I just want to have a discussion of that after this motion, but I think the motion before us is a very good one.
Liam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for bringing forward this motion. I think it's really good, that you guys are all valuing this and people are, that you're looking at it. I had an opportunity to serve on the Legacy Committee in the House the first year, and I guess my concern that I would bring up, and I don't know how to articulate it perfectly, but I wish we would specify what exactly it's kind of going to, like we would be buying something. I think it's be better for your group to say you're starting the base for the, say, the university or whatever, to start the research on this, even though you don't want to do research, or you're buying three bubblers or something specific, so that you can say, instead of just we're putting $5 million towards invasives, it's just relatively vague, and maybe that's covered, but that would just be my advice. And I think it's kind of nice packaging marketing for the group, so when Ron Chair is on a show, he can say, hey, we bought three bubblers. That's our commitment to this. This is the Lessard group's commitment. You guys decide what that is, but I just think it's better marketing.
So
we set up the base for the university to get going on this. They're going to figure out another way to fund it in the future, but we feel it's important, and we are committed to it and started it. So anyway, that's just my throwing out there. I don't know if that's helpful or hurtful, but...
Well, our current recommendation is to control Asian carp to protect Minnesota's aquatic habitat. Now, my read of that was this was written about a bubbler, but it was written about barriers which aren't supposed to be barriers. They're supposed to be restrictions.
Deterrence.
What?
Deterrence.
Deterrence. We could certainly add deterrent to the language to make it clear what this group has talked about, because I don't think this group has talked about getting involved in the research side of this, which would be the proposal we heard of, which is great stuff for a research institute on aquatic invasives.
Would it be helpful then if I changed it slightly to say which would use bird deterrence?
We'll take the advice of the council and work with the authors.
Mr. Chair and members, it's just a comment. I just think it's nice packaging for you as a group when we go forward to say, hey, we started this at the university. We gave the money. They're going to, you know, that's what it's for. And then, or the bubble horse, whatever you decide. I just think it's nice marketing, and it's going to help you in the long run. But it's not, I'm not going to vote no because
no,
of it
no,
at all.
Would deterrence be enough worked into the language?
I don't think it really, and then the language to me, I think what
we wanted to do, it's a great point. What we wanted to do is create enough flexibility so they could come back with something other than a bubbler if the technology led them in that direction. I think your point of being a little more specific makes sense. I think this group is talking primarily about deterrence or barriers. We could add deterrence into the language if that's acceptable. And is that what you're proposing?
Yes.
That we find a way to add deterrence into the recommended...
With legal counsel, I'm sure they can put something in there to make it work.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Any... All right, let's have a roll call vote.
Okay, Ron Shera.
Yes.
Senator Sackbaugh.
Yes.
Scott Roth.
Yes.
Representative McNamara.
Yes.
Representative Lilly.
Yes.
Jane Kingston.
Yes.
Senator Ingridson.
Yes.
Wayne Inger.
Yes.
Jim Cox.
Yes.
Ryan Bronson.
Yes.
We're waiting. Are you going to call us? Okay.
Yes. For the chair. I think Les has to be on a speaker or something.
I will put him on speaker when I get one.
You really did. Okay. Hey, Roosevelt,
you shouldn't start with me.
Because then everybody comes.
Les? Les, you're on speaker. There's a motion on the floor to increase funding by $2.5 million, taking the money from our reserve account.
For invasive
species to build a deterrent of some sort. We need about $2.5 million from reserves to increase AIS funding for deterrents.
Is that the whole motion?
That's the whole motion, yes, sir.
I will vote yes on that.
Thank you.
Right. Hang up on him. Okay. So, Denny, do you want to do something else at this point?
Yes, I appreciate the leadership this group is showing. Mr. Chair, I would like to ask if we could schedule a couple of things. I think this group needs to meet a few times during the session to evaluate as DNR comes forward with more specifics. I think Wayne's and Representative Lilly's point about let's understand more about what really are we paying for. I think we've shown now the leadership willing to commit a large amount of money. I think we also should show a willingness to meet with LCCMR and see if the potential $2 million that's available from the Mississippi Northwoods project that's potentially available, could that money be redirected to a project that LCCMR is currently funding that would allow LCCMR to potentially collaborate with Dr. Sorensen. I personally would rather not see this group pay for research. I think we sold this to the citizens of Minnesota for on-the-ground restoration kind of stuff. I think fish barriers, AIS, Asian carp control, where we're buying something, works. I think reaching out for scientific research would be more appropriate from LCCMR. The language is, I think, open enough where we could use it if we wanted to, but I hope if we're going to go down that way, I'd like to revisit it. I probably could be sold on it, but at this point, if we end up wanting to do a couple million dollars in this biennium, I would potentially rather see us redirect maybe some of our potentially available money from the TPL. Plus, it would allow TPL more time to solidify their huge step forward. Is it really available? So if we could schedule a joint meeting sometime in February or something with LCCMR, maybe we'd know more and have a more concrete proposal before us. We can't go any deeper in our reserves. The reality, I don't think you're going to get all the votes to cut anybody's pet project. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say pet project. Projects that they really believe strongly in. I mean, RIM, I really feel strong. I'm going to vote it no every time to cut $1 from it. You know, Scott's going to vote no, I hope. I'm going to vote no to cut the conservation grants every time. I'm not cutting them. I know, believe. So I guess I would say I'm not necessarily thinking we should make another motion now, but I would like, I know some of these folks have to drive long ways, but I think this is really important work. And this group's recommendation was huge. The establishment of this group, when we were on that conference committee establishing this and putting it to vote to the people, the idea was that good citizens like are here today would be part of the decision-making process. I don't want to undermine that. I don't want Senator Engelbertson and I going in a back room and saying, you know what, we got a better idea than what this group has said. I don't want to do that. I want to have it right here, open in front of everybody, and Dennis can write it in the Star Tribune and say what good things we are doing, and that's the way it should be. And we need to fund Dr. Sorensen. If we're going to put barriers up, deterrence, the new word, deterrence, I think we need to fund Dr. Sorensen. So I'm not interested in doing more motions.
Okay.
At this point, I'd just like to hope we can schedule another meeting, joint meeting with LCCMR. So I don't know if that takes some special action, Mr. Chair.
It doesn't take a special action. We staff can work on that and see if we can put together such a meeting.
Staff will work on that with staff of LCCMR.
Jim.
Well, I guess, you know, speaking to the issues that Representative McNamara just brought up, I would like to put this bill to bed. I think we've been very flexible in coming back twice now to amend our bill. But we made a decision on the Northwoods project. I know it's never been a favorite of Representative McNamara, but I think a lot of us on the council, this is exactly the type of project we wanted to do. We voted on it. We voted on it as it was, $14 million. We own the whole thing. And I would hope he would respect the council's opinion. If the bill's passed, it's done. I'd like to put this particular bill, to bed today and move on. All those things he's brought up are good issues, but I think they can be taken care of next year in our next process, and that's the way I would like to see things play out here.
Other comments? Denny?
Well, the only comment I would make, and I want to be decent and respectful, but the legislature is going to know that one of the people that we funded has come forward and told us they don't need $2 million of that money to move this project forward. I don't believe there's very many members of the legislature that are going to say we should fund a project for $2 million more than the proposer told us they need. I believe this group should realize that one of the proposers just came forward and said they think they can put the deal together with $2 million less of this money. They didn't propose to change the language that says we're going to control where a trail goes. Our proposal would change from 14 to 12, and still, I don't support changing any of the language other than we should remove the word state trail and make it any trail.
we should be able to control currently. Unfortunately, the language allows the county to put a trail wherever they want, and we can't say boo about it. We need to change that. That was the only other action I wanted to take today, was remove that word state in three different spots. But we should do that. And if Mr. Cox wants to be done today, I'm glad to make a motion to reduce that proposal from 14 to 12, because it would be the prudent thing to do. And with that extra $2 million, move it to the bottom line for now, make it available for additional discussion, I think it should be with LCCMR.
So do you want to do something, or?
If this group thinks that it doesn't want to have any more meetings or any more discussions and wants to leave it up to the legislature now, if this is going to be the last meeting about this year's bill, I would suggest that we reduce the proposal from 14 to 12. That's not my preference. I would prefer this group meet more times from now until whenever the legislature adjourns, so that you can be part of the discussions.
Ryan?
David, whenever we do that, I would rather, if we're going to make that decision, I would rather that we did it than the legislature have to do it. Obviously, they can do whatever they want, but I would rather it start here. I am curious if the $2 million reduction, was there arm twisting there, or is this, how did this happen that you suddenly had $2 million you didn't need?
Mr. Chair, members, Councilmember Sherrill, my name is Susan Schmidt. For the record, I'm with the Trust for Public Land. And let me assure you that we still need $14.04 million. Again, the purchase price is based on appraised fair market value of the property, which at this point in time, the appraisal is $14 million. The extra $40 is for our work with you. Already get the property ready, etc. I didn't reduce the price. I just said we have been working hard with our partners. I believe for the sake of your hard work and the package that we will commit to working hard with you to find $2 million for the trail component. And I believe we can. We've come really far. There's lots of agreements. So if you work with us on the $2 million, we will still have the $14.04 million to purchase property from Potlatch by the end of this year. I hope that's clear. I'll just stop there.
Jim?
And Susan, what if you don't get it? Don't get the $2
million. That's right. If we don't get the $2 million by the end of the year and the appraised fair market value is $14 million, we will not be able to buy the property by the end of this year.
Wayne?
The question about the $2 million is, too, that if you recall, when it was at the final hour, it was decided to pull $3 million out of all projects together to fund the initial CARP funding. And for that bill. And so we took something from everybody else, a little bit from, I think everybody lost 3%. And I thought, well, if by chance any money should come back from another group, should it then not be given back in the same proportion that we took it from to take care of the bill in the first place? And if not, if nothing else, at least let the money then come back. If you find $2 million somewhere else, let that money come back and go back into our reserve fund that we just took money from. So to me, it's a win-win situation to leave that one sit and go through the process and just be done with it, knowing that if the money comes back, we will utilize it again next year, and if we're going to get utilized in the future, and if not, we're not out of it. So I believe we should not touch it. We should just leave it be and, like Jim, carry on and just pass the package as it is.
Ryan.
Mr. Chair, the way that I would interpret that action, and I'm not necessarily against it, because if people recall, I voted zero for this project, and I voted against the project before, so I've always thought it was too expensive for the value. I don't think it would be fair to tell Trust for Public Land and their partners to go raise $2 million essentially to pay for the University of Minnesota CARP project. That is a project that people of Minnesota should pay for equally. The water resources in the state are extremely valuable. Now, the university, you can make the case the University of Minnesota should have already been working on this, these things. As a land-grant college, they've really gotten their fish and wildlife programs, in a lot of cases, have gotten away from that core mission of the on-the-ground practical application research that benefits the people of Minnesota. Dr. Sorensen's projects don't, I mean, he's one of the shining stars over there sticking true to what that land-grant mission should have been. But I don't think that it's fair that Trust for Public Land be the ones that are paying for this project.
Okay, we have to move on pretty quick, but I'll give you...
Just for point of information, Mr. Chair, thank you. Can you tell me what the LaSalle project cost? How much an acre in comparison to this project? It's kind of an off the top of the hat question here, but...
Mr. Chair, members of the council, the whole property was 10.5
approximately. How many acres was that?
1,000 acres.
Twice as much money?
Per acre.
And it's not wedged between a dump and an airport.
But twice as much acre and it's on the Mississippi?
It's a wonderful piece of property.
Yeah. I didn't realize that we paid that much for it.
Again, it was
appraised value.
Based on appraised value.
So,
Susan, excuse me.
Thank you.
Where we're at here is, do we want to get back together to talk about doing something additional to our package this year or not? Can I just see a show of hands, no motion, just where are we at? Do you want to come back together and talk about whether or not to revisit the Mississippi Northwoods project and potentially reallocate that money or let the money sit in our reserve or not?
Nothing's happened yet. We still allocated the 14.
I know. Do you want to get together to talk about it? Is my question. Otherwise, we're going to talk about this for another 6 hours and not get to the other things we're doing, and we've got to move on.
So your question is do we want an opportunity to debate some more, or do we just want to pass the bill or move the bill forward in its current form?
Well, we have moved the bill forward. Correct. Do you want to take action to change the bill? Change the recommendation in any additional way, or do you want to have a discussion?
I do not.
Who wants to get together to talk about whether or not we should modify our recommendations?
I'm open to the shift with LCCMR, but because we can't do that unilaterally.
Only way you do a shift with LCCMR is to take money from someplace else. So you're open to that?
I'm open to it.
Okay. Anyone else want to get together and talk about that?
I'm always open to discussion without making any commitment as to how that might accomplish.
Okay. Who does not want to? So... In reading the tea leaves, there are 5 members who would vote against any change, and we need 9 to pass a different recommendation. I think we're kind of done talking about the issue. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a motion just to make a language change. I apologize, members don't have the bill, but the current bill in its form on the Mississippi Northwoods project mentions development of a state trail. It can't happen without this group coming back. If I'm not mistaken, I think we could probably just direct Greg and Janelle, if my motion was to pass, that the word state be deleted. I believe it's mentioned in about 4 places. That would not allow, under current
the way the bill is drafted currently, the county, which is our proposer to own the property and owns the property, as Mr. Bronson has said, on both sides of this property, could develop a county trail, and they could put it wherever they want, and we would get no money, no say in them doing that. I think that would be inappropriate. I'm not sure it would even be constitutional, but in our language that we put in, we allow that. So I would propose that the word state be dropped in about four places so that we don't give the county carte blanche opportunity to put a trail where they want.
Greg and Janelle, do you concur that that would be wise?
Well, I understand the concern. The other side of the concern, though, is they wouldn't be able to develop hunter walking trails or things that, I mean, there are currently ATV trails that may run through there that aren't really developed trails. So my thought is, if you want to go beyond state, you get to the standard of the trail or the type of trail it would be. Because one of the reasons the state trails have a lot of restrictions on them by rule. So it would be some way to allow them to still continue. I mean, if they wanted to put a hunter walk, I mean, I use some of those hunter walking trails in county lands, and I think they're nice to have. I wouldn't want to preclude them from developing those.
But they could still put them in. They would just have to come to us with the plan for them.
So even for a hunter walking trail, they'd have to come back to them?
They would have to come back in some form or fashion.
Danny?
Well, I would... Mr. Knopf, I would disagree with your analysis of what were legislative intent is the discussion of blacktop trails and an improved trail. We're buying the property with a whole bunch of current situation and current conditions. I believe we're talking about a trail, and I think in the context of the county buying the land, the county owning the land on both sides, I'm talking about if you want to insert the word blacktop or develop trail or something.
Improved trail or something. Well, that's my only concern is that they're going to be putting logging roads when they log this. You know, they're going to be logging. There will be logging roads if they go into it. Some of those they may want to keep open as trails.
Well, maybe here we can just leave the language the way it is. I guess, does this group support the idea that the county would be able to put an improved blacktop trail on this property with us having no input?
No.
Okay, then I think we should put that in here because I believe currently they're allowed to do that, yeah. And I don't think it's our intent
so
to allow that to happen.
Would there be any objection?
Bill? To be clear, we're going to be giving this property to the county, and for the county to have to come back to the state to have us tell them how to connect with the trail from the north end to the south end? Are we worrying about that? Am I missing something here? Aren't they going to do that? Aren't they going to do what's best to connect those trails?
I think no. Our current bill doesn't allow
right.
for trails. If they want to pay for it, they can then put a trail in. I think the question is whether or not the language in the bill says state trail versus the county actually controlling the trail, which would be allowed, even an improved trail that connected two state trails on either side. And that's what Denny's trying to get to. So let me just suggest, Denny, as a way to quickly move this forward, that we take out the word state and put in improved blacktop or blacktop
just improved.
Hard surface
improved. I think improved. Mr. Chair, I'll change my modification to strike the word state trails and I don't know if Mr. Knopf here is or Janelle. I believe it's listed about four different times. And I apologize. I should have brought my marked up bill, but I believe it's mentioned state trail in a few spots, and it could say improved. I think we'll go to the intent that we're talking about here. And it would allow the discussion. If someone does come back and want an improved trail, it's worth a lot. I mean, it's worth more than the $500,000 the square footage of the land would be.
So your motion is
my motion would be to delete state and put in improve in the spots that's appropriate in the in item page 6, line 15 begins the Mississippi Northwoods Habitat Complex. Mm-hmm. In a number of spots, I believe approximately 4, the development of a state trail or reference the state trail, we would delete the word state and insert the word improve, and that would be my motion.
I can see Susan wants to say something. Just say it quickly, because I am going to take a vote, yeah, and we're going to get on.
Mr. Chair, members, we're okay with the change for paved over improved because of the logging growth that the county has.
Mr. Chair, I'll amend my motion based on TPL's input to make it paved trail.
Okay. We have a motion. I don't think we need less on this one. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Great. We're past it. So the next thing on our agenda is discussion of accomplishment plans, item 10. The first has to do with the Shell Rock River Watershed District. Now, Bill, do you want to give us some background?
You have a briefing memo in your packet. It's labeled agenda item 10 on the lower right. The district has requested an amendment to remove a 70-acre land donation valued at $280,000 from the leverage table. This land donation is a separate transaction between the district and the landowner. It's not directly connected to the Headwaters project. The landowner has exercised his option to substitute another parcel of land with an appraised value of $330,000. The new location is not directly related to the Headwaters project at this time. I believe that's the gist of what's going on.
Andy, go ahead and tell us why you think we should do this.
Mr. Chair and members of the board, I want to first thank you. My name is Andy Henschel. I'm the Director of Field Operations for the Shell Rock River Watershed District. Yes, the proposal in front of you is an amendment. It's a technical adjustment to the accomplishment plan. And this came about with a conversation with DNR and through staff, or Bill Becker and his staff. It is still a 257-acre Headwaters project. The total acres of our intended purchase has not changed. Again, this is the cornerstone and the gateway project to a larger Corps of Engineers project. I want to make you guys aware of that. That is a $7.5 million project that we anticipate to leverage with this cornerstone project here. The donation to the Watershed District by the original, or that was in the original accomplishment plan, was under the direction of the landowner per the option that the Watershed District had with the landowner. That landowner no longer owns that property, so therefore it's unavailable through the donation. But as we allowed him in the option agreement, he can now change that donation. He has now made an additional donation that the district will still get. It's just not 70 acres of habitat. It's now down to 4.13 acres of habitat. Basically, staff feels by removing the reference to the donation, smooths out the way towards completing the AMA transfer between the district and the DNR. It will help put it in the hands of the citizens to use this parcel in a faster means. Again, but the key project and the key purpose of this 257 acres is, again, to be a cornerstone project to that 7.5 million dollar ecosystem restoration through the Corps of Engineers. And I hope that summarizes, and we hope for your support with the proposed accomplishment plan. We'd be happy to answer any questions for the board.
So I just ask how you think 4.5 acres is equal to 71 acres in terms of habitat.
In the option agreement, the original 70 acres was a cash value of $280,000. The appraised value on the 4.13 acres is $330,000, I believe, at this.
Yeah, no, I'm asking conservation value, not dollar value.
Okay, correct. Conservation value, we are losing roughly 66 acres in conservation value, but it does not stray away from the entirety of the 2.57 acres on the Headwaters project itself, which is going towards meet an AMA with the DNR.
Am I the only one that doesn't get that?
I don't get it.
I'm wondering, what's on that 4 acres? Gold?
It's a housing site, and there is some gravel operations. It's actually right adjacent to the AMA, or the eventual 257 acres, which at some time will be donated as part of the AMA.
It's on this, right?
Correct.
Could you point to it, please? This is a donated tract.
Mr. Chair and Council, if you look at the donated tract, is on the bottom left-hand side of the original 257 acres.
It's the back of the fourth page in your packet.
And the trapezoid there is another farmstead or something? The trapezoid here? That's a carve out?
That is another exemption from the original parcel.
That's not part of the contiguous contiguous.
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm not crazy. Scott.
You know, if I understand this correctly, basically, on your accomplishment plan, you listed some leverage. That leverage had a dollar amount, okay? Now we are swapping out that leverage for a different parcel, but that, I mean, and that that leverage towards this project is the same in dollar value, and the 257 acres that we originally bought, that 257 acres is intact. So this is just a swap of the leverage that you committed to the project.
Yes, in 2010 or July 14th of 2010, the original option we had signed by the landowner had the leverage of the 70 acres. Also in that option was noted that at the landowner's discretion could change that value, or excuse me, not value, but parcel, equal to that value of $280,000, and the landowner has taken that option.
One last comment is, you know, we've had a lot of accomplishment plans that came to us, or at least proposals that had, we have this leverage, we have this anticipated leverage, and we've seen some of those come through where the large amounts of anticipated leverage actually vanish. You know, in this situation, it is certainly a difference in acreage, okay? But at least the leverage didn't go away, which in many other cases, anticipated leverage just never actually came to fruition. So it is a reduction in acres, but at least the leverage remains.
Does someone want to make a motion?
So moved.
The move is to accept the amendment.
To accept the amendment.
Any comments? I would just tell you personally, I will vote against it because I think part of the leverage was the conservation value, not the dollar value. But that's a personal feeling.
I look at this down the road and say, what prevents this from happening every single time? People coming forth and saying, I got mine approved because I had a 100 or 1-to-1 match on lands, and then says, whoops, I guess I changed my mind and it's just a little bit now. So I don't know what the. Well, we should do with this one, but I certainly would like to hope that this doesn't occur in the future.
Other comments? Danny?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to support Mr. Rawl's motion because the testifier told us that we had a commitment from the property owner that they would make a contribution of $280,000 worth of property, but I may give you different property than the property I'm talking about now. And they entered into that good faith agreement knowing that property owner may make a change
he's actually made a change that supposedly is better money-wise to us. It could have been the reverse. You could have gotten 66 acres for four. The commitment was a monetary one, and I think sounds to me like he's honoring that and actually giving it a little better. From a conservation standpoint, it may not be as good, but truthfully, from a conservation and environmental standpoint, this is really good property to be protected.
Absolutely.
It's a small acreage, but really, really is some important protection here. So I would want to support, because I believe the intent that was met by both parties in good faith is being honored here.
Okay. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Just me. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Next is aquatic habitat program.
You have an agenda item 10, second packet, and it should be 10A and 10B. DNR has requested an amendment to the accomplishment plan to add two additional trout stream restorations to the parcel list. Keene Creek will partner with MnDOT to remove an adjacent Lowhead Dam and Sargent Creek. The project will partner with St. Louis County to maintain an existing in-stream pool habitat. Neither project will impact the acre or dollar outputs and will result in completed in-stream projects. The manager requested that they bring that they be able to bring this in front of you.
Go ahead and bring it quickly, because I don't think it'll take very long. You've been waiting a long time today.
Yes, I have. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the Council, Mike Duvall, DNR's project manager for the Aquatic Habitat Program. And this particular proposal that was approved for the Minnesota Laws 10, we requested funding to do three designs for facilitating fist passage underneath Highway 61 in the North Shore. Circumstances are that based on that funding, MnDOT has taken a closer look at the particular barriers that are there in place and are actually in the next 3 to 5 years going to be doing seriously pursuing a bridge replacement as opposed to trying to modify fish passage through culverts. And that's a very favorable outcome and a much better end product. And so at this point in time, what we're proposing to do is redirect that funding from those particular project sites to two sites that will not get you a project design, which was the initial proposal, will actually get you a completed project in the end on two different sites. Mr. Chair.
Anyone want to make a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the amendment request.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Sorry you had to wait all day for that.
Go get my parking meter. Thank you.
Next, we're going to do any public comment, and then we will take up our funding RFP. We do have one person here that I know of, David, whose last name I will pronounce wrong, so please tell me how to pronounce your last name.
Cuzzy.
Thank you. Go ahead and thank
Dave
you for coming.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and fellow members of the council. On behalf of Capable Partners, I wanted to thank you all. For those of you that don't know me or Capable Partners, we've been around 33 years, and for 33 years, half of the time I was in a wheelchair, the front half I was not. And we helped really draft and get people that are physically challenged back into the great outdoors. And our mission and values do just that. And probably 80% of our outings are done in the metro-based area. And as such, from time to time, you'll see my little wheeler mug come up here and propose that we do more accessibility considerations when it makes sense for things like trout fishing and other fishing and hunting opportunities. One of the things you talked about in millions of dollars, I'll leave this small little thing for you to think about. We have 3,000 public accesses, if I remember what the commissioner said yesterday. Of those 3,000 public accesses, very few of them have handicapped parking signage. A handicapped parking sign is $50. A post at Menards is about $4. So my point is, for little or next to very little money, we can put more accessible parking places in place. That's one of the little things that I just wanted you guys to think about, or you all to think about as we go forward. And accessibility is key, and if it's true what I said at the round table, if I can do it, you can do it. And if you all have any questions, I can certainly take those now, or you can see me in the hall from time to time, and we can continue further discussion about how we can make that work for everybody.
Great. Thank you. Any questions? Thanks for coming. Any other comments? I know there was someone who wanted to come who was unable to, who wanted to express a concern about the carp that are coming being referred to as Asian carp because it might be considered to be a less than politically correct term. I would just ask everyone to consider that and think of them as invasive carp, perhaps, instead of Asian carp, not trying to upset people. And that was a comment that was going to come and probably will come again, but I thought I would pass it along knowing it was going to be brought up at some point. With that, we need to move to our funding request for 2013. You were all sent the funding request that we passed in for the last round. You have a color copy, which Bill was holding up. And the question in front of us is whether or not we want to make any modifications to this or put this forth. I'm sorry, it's for 2014. We're doing it so early in the year, I get confused. And we are doing it early to give people more time to prepare their proposals. So the question is really, are we happy with what we did in the past, or does anyone want to propose any changes to that?
Do you need a motion to make the discussions to move that forward?
That would be just fine.
I make a motion to move the call as it exists in your hands right now.
All right. So, Ron, you're looking confused. If you have a suggestion, you can make an amendment.
Oh.
A motion for an amendment.
I didn't understand the motion.
The motion is to take our last, what is essentially was our last call for RFPs, and put that same package in front of people for the upcoming discussion.
Can we discuss that?
We are absolutely going to discuss that. That is a motion to get that on the table, and I fully expect there will be some amendments. Yes.
I found that it was my first to go around last year. I found it overwhelming in the amount of reading that was redundant. As the applications basically, and some of the questions asked were saying just what they wanted us to hear. And I still think we can make intelligent decisions on these without having so much wordage. And I realize that's not very specific, but if we had time to sit through it, I could show you exactly what I would, if not eliminate, at least reduce.
Is that eliminate or reduce in terms of requests for information from people?
Yeah, some of it was every application I saw was like, how does this fit in with the overall state, the plan that we had? And it was pretty logical, any of them that dealt with wildlife habitat fit in with the plan. So I go, wow, what am I learning here? I'm not learning anything. I'm trying to plow through it. Just get to the point. What are you going to do? What are you proposing to do? How will it change things? And what's it going to cost? And all the other details were fine. But let's get to the bottom line here. What are you doing? Why is this necessary?
So
go that route.
If you want to change something, this is your chance to request an amendment to this so you don't have to read what you don't think you need to read. But if you don't make a motion, it's going to be in front of you to read. I'll tell you that.
Well, I didn't know this council put that together piece by piece. I thought maybe it was staff or Bill or whatever
that's our job.
Just direct Bill to simplify the thing.
Mr. Chair, much of what you're discussing is a result of our statute, and that's translated into our statewide priority criteria. So, for example, if you look on the front of the second page, the page that says statewide priority criteria, number 8 is addressing all those plans. And it flows directly out of the statute. So we're supposed to do it.
Sorry, Ron. You can just blink.
You waste the good trees, sir.
You can blink. Heather?
I just want to remind the council, too, that we have been undertaking, with a consultant, a redesign of all of the information that we request and receive. So hopefully, when you get the proposals, they'll be a lot easier because there'll be pull-down menus. They'll just be yes, no, do you comply with this requirement, etc. So that should make it a little bit easier.
Right. Just so my thoughts were, I had to plod through a lot of garbage on these pages to finally figure out exactly what the essence of this project was, why it was important, how it was going to move the needle. That's what I looked for. How is it moving the needle here? But to get to that, I had to go through what I thought was a lot of nonsense.
I'm going to just predict that this year you won't have to go through it with as much painstaking detail because you'll be used to knowing what to look for and what to skim over quickly. And anything that Heather can manage to do to make it a little easier on us will be greatly appreciated by you and others.
I still think we could save some trees.
Ryan?
Mr. Chair, on I guess this side of the cover, page 2, on proposal requirements number 6, our proposals are for a minimum of $150,000. I'd recommend that we make our minimum of $400,000, so we've got a clear differentiation what is a LASARD Council is going to review and what the small grants program would review.
Okay, so you're making making a motion for an amendment.
I move to amend on page 2, proposal requirements, line 6, strike 150,000, insert 400,000.
Okay.
Why was that set at 150 originally?
If my memory is correct, the first year it was 400,000, and we got some criticism for that.
Mr. Chair, once again, staff suggested 400,000. The members felt 150 was better in order to take some time to see what came through, to have the ability to view. I think the question is, how has that worked?
Pretty well. Ryan?
I would just be concerned that I think it's a good idea, but does that mean that all of those under $400,000, they'll have to go through the conservation grant program, and would that wipe that out almost instantly?
Well, if you looked at how many proposals we got for between $150,000 and $400,000,
there was one. I think we had one.
There was one.
Okay.
So it's...
We didn't do any.
Based on history, it wouldn't be a big deal. Jane, I'm sorry I missed you.
My point was that I think we had one last year at 400, and that was the Steelhead Group, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Who's next? Jim.
Okay, on the same page that Ryan was on, I'm going down to 14. It says, ensure that land accorded in fee title with money from the OHF is open to the public taking. I'd like to insert, of all fish and game during the open season unless otherwise provided by Minnesota law.
Oh, I like that.
And the reason I say that is there seems to be some confusion that what the requirement is when we acquire land and fee title. I think some people are under the understanding that if there's any hunting or any fishing, that meets the criteria, and I don't think it does. So I think it would just make sure people understood what they're going to be required to do a little clearer.
Janelle, do you agree with that from a legal standpoint?
Well, if the recommendations that you just passed for the staff recommendations in paragraph A, B, and C, there will still be the opportunity to have a limited fishing and hunting.
See.
So just so everybody's aware that will still be Minnesota law. So.
Hopefully. But that, so you don't see any issue with that?
No.
Just thought I'd ask. Any questions? Ryan?
So, Jim, in the Minnesota Valley, where they only allow bow hunting, if they purchased an additional parcel using OHF, they'd have to allow hunting with firearms?
Yeah.
Unless they came and got special.
Right. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that the concept is it's open to all hunting and fishing at the beginning. We can work backwards, but going into it, that's the idea.
Would, if it's only open for bow hunting in all the surrounding property, would you have to allow for rifle or shotgun hunting on the property acquired?
Well, if it's under Minnesota law, I mean, in most parts of the state, you can only use a rifle in certain areas. And you know.
I'm not sure what this change is, Jim. Can you explain why you think it's...
Well, in the past, and how this whole problem we dealt with earlier today was that when we say that property acquired under fee title must be open to hunting and fishing, a lot of people don't understand that it must be open to all hunting and fishing. You can't just say, I'm going to open it to...
Youth waterfowl.
I'm going to only open it to bow hunting or whatever. You've got to do everything under Minnesota law.
But there's a caveat in there that says unless otherwise provided by law. So you could.
I put Minnesota law.
For the Minnesota law, they might say this is just like Minnesota law for the youth firearms, waterfowl season. You can't have that.
I'm not following it.
Well, Minnesota already has sets up times when it's just young people can hunt and not old people.
Right, but that's Minnesota law.
I think the real crux of this will be a federal refuge, which operates under a different system, not under Minnesota law, would have to recognize Minnesota law or it wouldn't take it. And the real question for us then is, do we want to partner with refuges or not? Because they're under statute to do it their way.
Yeah, I agree.
Scott?
I support Jim's language in the fact that, you know, people can send us their request for proposal and say, is that open for hunting? And they can check yes, even if that's only open for 2 weeks, once in a while, okay? I think the council can still opt to say, yes, it's open. I mean, it's open for hunting unless we give it the stamp of approval for some other form of reduced hunting. But I think everyone should start out with, you buy it in fee title, it's open, whether that's a youth or I mean, whatever hunting is available by the Minnesota state law, every property starts out open to all of those laws year-round, I mean, during seasons, and then it can be restricted after that.
So what about, instead of being that restrictive, getting to your point of, you know, on the request, there's A, no, B, yes, C, with these limitations, which are specifically outlined, instead of then limiting so that you don't have any partnership with the federal government on wildlife refuge lands. Because the way I would read this is don't bother to apply.
Could we actually, in that call, I mean, we could have, like, what kind of hunting it's open for. You could say waterfowl, pheasant, I mean, upland. You could actually check the box and then make them commit on paper to what that would be open for when they apply.
Ron's going to have to read another page.
I was going to tell you, Ron, you know, you said it was difficult, but some people actually said that this was easier than a conservation partners program.
I mean, we could ask for, if there's any limitations outside of Minnesota law, what would they be? So you don't have to check every box, but you have to disclose what's going to be in your accomplishment plan in terms of limitations, which, frankly, would not be a bad thing. There may be a place where it's appropriate, but then we don't have to ferret it out. You know it up front.
Mr. Chair, I think that's the crux of the issue, that we haven't been eliciting the right response in the application. And we have agreed that we're going to try to make it more illuminating to the council. I think that Mr. Cox's amendments here clarify that to the average person reading.
Do you think it will exclude people from applying because they don't know that we can be flexible? Or that we'd be, or we'd be criticized for being flexible when we put out, we'll only consider funding requests that. To me, that says we're not going to be flexible. If it isn't completely open to all hunting, we're not going to be flexible. That's what your motion says to me. And I'm not sure I want to go that far. I'm willing to go far as saying I think this council absolutely should know if we're agreeing to any restrictions and what they are. But I don't think that we should necessarily say if there's any restriction whatsoever.
So then how do we make sure that people that are coming forward understand the idea that, you know, one form of hunting is not open to hunting and fishing, or one form of fishing is not open to hunting and fishing. They've met the criteria. This is just the request.
Yeah. Could we direct staff to figure out how to...
We'll work with the chair and the vice chair to try to address this issue.
Ron?
David, why can't we, just to complicate the application a little bit more, ask them to describe their hunting plans?
We've agreed to do that. We'll do it in the request.
Yeah. And we know.
So, rather than... Jim, you have a motion on the floor, which is fine. We can vote on that. I'd like to recommend that you withdraw the motion and that staff work with you and I to ensure that the application requires people to fully disclose what their intention is that's going to go in the accomplishment plan, so that...
Gary.
Okay. Gary, you have a...
Yeah, I was just going to give some background. That provision only relates or pertains to fee title acquisition.
Yeah.
And the origin of it goes back to the right to hunt and fish. It was in version one, the constitutional language, which specifically is on fee title acquisition. And mainly it pertains to, you know, the presumption at that time was wildlife management areas. So as a rule, you know, it's going to be as restrictive as you interpret it to. But you're going to run across varying types of exceptions. AMAs are exceptions. Now, when it's open to fishing, an AMA or a WMA is open to fishing. You just can't fish there. And the otherwise provided by law means that, you know, as Greg went over this ad nauseum over the years, pertains to season setting. It doesn't pertain to anything else. And season setting, so you'd still be able to handle the exceptions with what you're proposing here that you're concerned about on fee title acquisition. But fee title acquisition, you know, carries those stipulations. Easements are all over the map. Some aren't open to public hunting.
Sure.
Some are. Trout streams are open to angling. You know.
So we're losing folks here.
We don't have to have it. Yeah, we do, but
where are we at with this? Do you want to vote on your amendment? You want to withdraw it and work with Bill? Okay. Other amendments to the... I'd like to suggest one, which is on the statewide priority criteria. And if you look at Point eight. We talk about aquatic invasive species as only as permanent solutions. If we talk about habitat restoration, we allow for things that are long-term but not permanent, because we can't forever kill out buckthorn or forever take out other invasives. And so I want to recommend that we add to that line, so it would say, address wildlife species of greatest conservation need, Minnesota County Biological Survey data, and rare, threatened, and endangered species inventories in land and water decisions, as well as long-term or permanent solutions to aquatic invasive species. Because I would interpret what we did today for the not barriers but restrictions or deterrence as being long-term, not permanent. And I think we would then be consistent.
Long-term and permanent?
Long-term and permanent.
Okay.
Or permanent?
Or permanent. So I'd make that motion.
Long-term or permanent.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anything else?
Relating to our scoring sheet system, we currently use a 1-5 scale.
Mm-hmm.
I'd recommend that we go to a 1-10 scale to give us a little better differentiation in our different categories. I think I look at my numbers at the end, and they all tend to lump up.
Okay.
And I think I'd be able to differentiate better. So that, now that's only assuming that we're willing to actually draw criteria and then eliminate some projects before we get to the training.
We have to look at all of them. They all have to come in. All
so
I got his vote.
I have a suspicion there may be a couple of other things in terms of how we score, and that we will have a discussion about what our scoring sheets look like at a different meeting, because it's a little premature since no one has it in front of them. Yeah, it is. You should all think about it. You know, mine is bang for the buck. I want just a simple category, bang for the buck. That's mine.
That's
you guys might not agree. So, other things?
On the original motion.
On the original motion to pass, as amended, the call for proposals. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I can't believe we're getting out of here at 3 o'clock.
Early.
We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
I want to thank you all for coming to a hastily arranged meeting.